Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
2-2. Swing and a miss. Strike three. The Sox take care of Cleveland with a 6-0 bagel in the finale and a series win.
Well, the Guardians, who don't strike out very much, struck out 12 times today. It was a testament to what the Sox did. They played wonderful defense, got timely hitting, got superlative pitching, and if you're looking for a recipe to win and jump back into this race, you saw it here today in Cleveland.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We have Gabe Ramirez in for David this morning, and hey, we are delighted to welcome Scott Merkin to the program. He's with MLB.com, and he is in Detroit covering the White Sox. He joins us on the Busey Bank Score Hotline, building business, growing wealth since 1868. Scott, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
You know, we are kind of enjoying what's happening with the White Sox. We both kind of share that that Sox affliction. But it's also, you're trying to remind yourself that they're getting out of the hole. If they have a good series in Detroit, maybe they get out of the hole a little bit more. Maybe they come home and you feel like Michael Kopech is going to do it again, this time against Anaheim. It could be a real turning point, what's happening right now.
Yeah, this was a huge stretch for them. They have 13 in a row against the AL Central, concluding with four in Detroit. But they have 19 overall with 16 against the AL Central. So they go, you know, three at home against Anaheim and then three more against Detroit. And then, you know, June gets going and there's some tough series there, you know, at New York, at Dodgers, at Angels, at Seattle. I'm forgetting a few more in there. But, yeah, I mean, it gets a little tougher, but they're doing exactly what they needed to do for a team that was 14 under, flirting in that area. You know, they'd win a couple, they'd go 5-2, and then they'd go 1-3 in Kansas City and go back to 13, 14 under. Well, they're starting to make a move. And, you know, let's be honest, and I think the Sox understand this too, they're in the right division, right? The team leading the division is two games over, I believe, right? Yeah, they're 5.5 behind the Twins. So the Twins are two games over. Now, again, the NL Central is no, you know, great shakes either. Yeah, I mean, they're not, there's no one running away. But, I mean, if they were in the AL East, which they're not, they'd be, you know, in a different situation. They'd be about 15 games out of first place right now. But, you know, they've done a great job in this head-to-head competition. They've beaten up a Cleveland team. They're 4-2 against Cleveland that just does not hit at all right now and is missing some of their key pitchers. And the key thing, though, is they're playing good baseball. Michael Kopech looks like a top-of-the-rotation type of guy. Their defense is better. They're getting some timely hitting. You know, I know they didn't hit much against Gattis on Monday, but you're not going to win every game. You know, going out there thinking they have a 10-game winning streak in them or they're going to win 20 of 21 is a little unrealistic. But they're making the moves to get back into contention in this division.
Scott, I'm looking at, you know, the White Sox as a whole, and I try to take a step back, and I'm looking at a lot of their rankings when it comes to some of these statistics. You know, 20th in batting average, 20th in home runs, 28th in home runs allowed, 25th in ERA. When you look at the stats for the Chicago White Sox and the state that they're in right now, could you point to one and say, hey, this is the reason right here, or if this stat were flipped, then the White Sox would be in a different predicament?
No, I mean, I think you can do that on a lot of things. You know, I've seen some people say if they went 3-1 in Kansas City, well, they'd be, you know, such and such a record. Right. But you know, if I were, you know, 5 inches taller, I'd be 6 feet tall. It doesn't. And that's
shouldn't have admitted that, Scott.
That's not a good day. I'm 5'7". Not some days 5'6", I think. So, I mean, you know, you got to play with what you have right now. They had an awful April. There's no way to sugarcoat it. They were, you know, 7-21 and one strike away from being 7-22. And then they had that 7-run ninth inning against the Rays, which may have, you know, turned things a little bit, given them a little bit of momentum. I just think, you know, that they weren't good in April and they're playing better and they're getting healthier. You know, Yoan Moncada is back at third base. Tim Anderson, who's, you know, not at the bar he sets for himself or the bar that's been expected of him, is, you know, back in the lineup, and he's a valuable guy. He brings energy to that team. He brings energy to that clubhouse. You know, Kopech is back in form. You know, Liam Hendricks should be back soon. What a great story that has been and will be when he comes back. And Eloy Jimenez is on injury rehab right now. So I think just everything is coming together a little better. I wouldn't point to one stat, but I mean, their starting pitching has been phenomenal the last 13 games. The bullpen is in the area under one in the last, I believe it's 10 or 11 games. So pitching is what, you know, gets you wins. That's what ultimately, you know, it's tough to hit your way to a championship. You got to have that pitching and defense to succeed.
Yeah. You know, I got to tell you, Scott, I am worried about Luis Robert Jr., which is insane. But the fact is he left the game the other night with a strained hip, and then he didn't play yesterday, which we knew that going in. Are we assured that he's in the lineup and playing in Detroit?
Well, I think nothing is certainty. Nothing is certain in this life, as we know. Boy, yeah. I'm dropping a lot of the cliches today, aren't I? But but he was asked, he talked to us post-game yesterday, and one of the reporters asked him, you know, do you need a couple days? And he made this face like someone just hit him up for money or something like that. You know, like there's no way. And he said, without even Billy Russo interpreting, he said tomorrow. So, and if I were him, you know, if he feels good, I wouldn't want to sit out either the way he's crushing the ball in May.
Right.
I mean, he is, you know, it looks like an AL MVP candidate in May and certainly a player of the month candidate. So no, it did not. He was moving around great yesterday. There did not seem to be any problems. He said it was more of a cramp, and Pedro Grifol said it was more of that he had a day off coming anyways. So yesterday was the perfect time to get him off after what happened. It happened when he was chasing that triple that Ramirez had that bounced off the wall. And when he went to throw, his leg kind of slid a little bit. But yeah, but going by what he said yesterday, you know, if there were a game this morning, he would be playing in that right now. So,
I mean, the rectus femoris, as you tweeted out there, Scott.
That's right. Well, you know, that was Pedro said that because after the game, I think we got a couple different areas, but it was like right in the same area, a couple different regions. And he gave the exact diagnosis that he was told. And he said to me before I left, he said, now make sure you Google that to make sure I get it exact. And we did. We Googled it and got the exact area that he, I don't know, had a cramp or.
Well, listen,
he said it was a quad.
It looks like the quad right there because it connects through the hip.
And then they said that they announced that it was the hip. So it seemed like no one knew what was happening. So he clarified it through you. That's pretty funny.
All this sounds like
it's kind of that muscle that like connects everything there. Yeah. So you understand. You understand that not confusion, but the different diagnoses.
Nothing that you want him running around in center field with. I'll tell you that. That sounds like a DH move today. But we'll keep a close eye on that. And Scott, you know, speaking of power, we've seen it in spades from guys like Gavin Sheets and Jake Berger. But as Sox fans, we're cautiously optimistic. And who do you think of the two is more likely to have sustainability with the recent success?
Well, I think they've both shown that they have some. You know, I mean, Gavin's had some great at-bats, even though maybe they haven't always turned out in home runs or even getting on base. He's really been able to work pitchers and, you know, take counts deep and that sort of thing. And he's a proven, you know, in a very small sample size because he hasn't been in the majors that long, he's a proven kind of left-handed power bat, you know. And Jake has done the same thing. And, you know, I don't know if Jake is going to stay on the, you know, tear he was on where I think he homered in three straight games, and he's done that twice this year. But Jake, you know, has that kind of electric offensive ability. And it's going to be interesting because, you know, Eloy probably is back, if not in Detroit, by, I would say, you know, barring anything unforeseen happening, by the start of the homestand Monday. So now you have some, you know, some questions to answer. You know, Eloy has played in right field for AA Birmingham last night. He's going to play some right field. You know, that's the thing. You got to give the Sox credit and Eloy credit because, you know, they told him he worked hard. If he came into shape, can't camp in shape, he was going to get a chance in right field since Benintendi is their left fielder. And he has done that, and they have given him that. And we'll see how he continues to progress out there. but that gives Berger a chance at DH. You know, they briefly talked last weekend about Jake Berger in the outfield. That seems to have not been necessarily scrapped, but not going forward. And it looks like he's taking some ground balls down second base. So you want to keep those bats in the lineup because, like you said, they're the biggest power bats they have. So I think both of them, I mean, and not to do a cop-out, but I think you can see both of them going forward be able to continue to hit the long ball like they have because there is current and past results to prove that point.
Molly, why don't you like Berger at second base?
Yeah, I think, and I'd be curious to get your take, Scott. Ozzie has been saying for a long time to us that if they plan on using Berger, then the plan should have been to send him to winter ball to play second base. Mm-hmm. And the idea of now trying to figure out how Berger can play second base for you, I mean, you could probably do it for a few innings, right? I don't know that I'd want that at the end of a game. If you built a lead, you probably want to get someone in there. But what's Elvis's situation, Scott? What, you know, is Romy Gonzalez? Romy Gonzalez has had three run scoring doubles in the last four games, and they won all three of them. I mean, right at the bottom of the order. I know they like him. Is he going to be staying there? Hanser, Alberto. What are they doing at second base?
Yeah, it's a big mix to figure out, and it's a good mix, right? I mean, it's a good mix. To go back to a quote Tony La Russa used a lot last year, where you have too much talent, too many options right now. And, you know, I see Ozzie's point. Of course, Ozzie knows quite a bit about playing middle infield at a high level. But I think Jake would not be an everyday second baseman, just to clarify that. It would be, you know, kind of when the situation called for it. And I don't think, you know, I think there are options to put in there if he is starting and you want a defensive presence in there in the seventh, eighth, or ninth inning or something like that. But yeah, back to your answer, you know, or your question, I'm sorry, my answer, they said that Elvis is probably going to be on an injury rehab assignment next week. So it's probably still another, you know, a week to 10 days before Elvis comes back. And then they have a bunch of decisions made, but Romy's been great. Romy has been a key to this, you know, 7-2 stretch they're on. And I think this is the kind of Romy Gonzalez they envisioned. You know, he did a lot of work with the White Sox coaching staff in Miami in the offseason, along with Oscar Colas. So, I mean, it wasn't like this is a guy who surprised them. This is a guy who was in their picture at second base until they brought Elvis Andrus back during spring training. So I think he's still there. And, you know, he's so versatile, too. You know, he plays the outfield. He plays basically everywhere but catcher and pitch, or he has pitched. Actually, catcher and first base, I think, are the only two spots he hasn't played. And he's like the emergency catcher. So, and he has a little speed, too. So I think everything points to him staying around. So it'll be interesting to see what decisions they make. But yeah, Romy has been a key guy over the last stretch where they've gone 7-2, he's been a big contributor.
Scott, it's good to hear the word development when you're talking about some of these White Sox players, right? I mean, because you've had so many that you just kind of thrust into the lineup, and then, you know, you're wondering what's happening in the minors with some of these guys, and can there be, you know, consistent development from some of these players? And Mully and I were talking earlier about maybe the lack of development from some of the pitchers. You know, when you're looking at this staff, you know, who like where Reynaldo Lopez was that guy that was eating up a couple innings for you, you know, last year at certain moments. Obviously, he's been, you know, closing a little bit more pitching in that eighth. Who can be that person for the Chicago White Sox in the present, whether it be someone that's on the in the relief staff right now or someone that's in the minors?
Well, I think Garrett Crochet is the answer. I think that's one of the reasons why his injury rehab took maybe a little bit longer, maybe a week longer, because they were getting him stretched out to go 2-3 innings. And he hasn't done that yet, but I think he will be the guy, especially if there is any kind of inclination in the next year or two to bring him into the starting rotation. This is kind of what they did with Michael Kopech before he joined the rotation, where he was, you know, an opener a couple times or pitched the first couple innings, you know, spot started, but actually, you know, worked a couple innings in relief. So I think Crochet could be that guy. I think Jimmy Lambert, who has some starting experience and has done this before, could be that multiple inning guy. So they have options. You know, Jesse Schultens did a really nice job following Jimmy Lambert to the mound on Monday. It was right where Jimmy Lambert was the opener, and then Jesse Schultens followed with five innings. So I don't know, you know, if he's going to be on the roster for the course of the rest of the season, but he certainly is an option down there. Yeah, you know, the development is interesting because that fed into the April thing. You know, I mean, April, not only were they playing bad baseball, did they have a bad record, but a lot of their top guys in the minor league system were injured, and they're starting to even come back a little bit now. So it was just a month to forget And now everything, at least for now, seems to be, I think, counting that game where they rallied for the 7-run ninth against Tampa to avoid the 4-game sweep, I believe they are 14-9 since then. So they're moving towards the top, whereas for April, they are moving to, you know, what are we going to write about during the course of the rest of the season if this continues?
Kopech has been unbelievable. It was amazing to see the two games put together, and I think it was Chris Kampka pointed out that is the first time in Sox history that someone has done that. And, you know, God bless them. It was amazing to witness. And you always feel like, oh, that's what's supposed to happen, right? He's always been supposed to be that guy, and now he's put it together for a couple games. The next game up is obviously Anaheim on Monday, and they've got a couple of big-time bats in their lineup. What do you expect from him? How did those 2 days off change things? And you know, how sustainable is this for a guy that we thought could be able to do this?
Yeah, I think it helped. You know, I think they're trying to give that to all the starters at some point during, you know, the next month, few weeks. You know, give them that extra day here and there just to keep them fresh for the whole season. But I think it probably helped a guy like Michael Kopech kind of take a step back, study his craft a little bit. And the biggest thing he said is he's trusting his stuff. You know, I mean, I know he's used the changeup a lot more and more effectively. And we wrote about that. I think all of us did during spring training because people talked about how great that pitch looked during side sessions and live BPs and even the occasional time he threw it in a Cactus League game, or games in general. But I think that's becoming more of a viable pitch right now. And his fastball has just been, you know, for a word we use too often, but it really has been electric. You know, I mean, he just has been dominant. I mean, you could see from literally the first hitter yesterday. And again, you know, I get that Cleveland's not anything but a strong offense team, but I don't think it mattered. I don't think it mattered who he was facing yesterday. From that first pitch yesterday, you could see he had great stuff. You could see he had great pace. He had great rhythm on the mound. Like, you know, you'd look down and he'd be, you know, to add something, put something into your story or into the computer, and he'd be two or three pitches past already because he was just working with Sebi Zavala at the perfect, you know, the perfect rate that he needed to go. And I think the biggest thing is confidence for him, you know, trusting his stuff. And he said, you know, through the first couple starts, through the first whatever it was month where he led the majors in home runs allowed, basically coming off two games and one when, you know, the Sox had scored 11 runs in an inning to support him, where you maybe take the foot a little bit off the gas pedal. But he was kind of searching to trust his stuff, and now he really does. And you can see how good that stuff is when he's on his game. It's top notch. It's up with some of the best. So, my goodness, if you put him at the top along with, you know, Lucas Giolito's had a great year. Dylan Cease is figuring things out. Lance Lynn has been better the last few starts and said he's starting to feel good. And then, you know, Clevinger, when he comes back, that's more than a pretty good starting five for your team.
Yeah, and that's why people were high on the White Sox, right? Not only because of the talent at certain positions, but also the pitching staff. And you touched on our guy Lucas Giolito, Scott. And, you know, I remember a few years back when Rick Hahn was only bringing in guys at the start of the season to move them at the deadline, right? Like middle relievers, guys that he knew he can get some younger guys for. But in the present, you see a guy like Lucas Giolito, and I, as a fan, ask myself, you know, is there a scenario where he stays past the trade deadline, or is inevitable? This is a guy that the Sox feel like they can get some value back for, and so he will be moved.
Well, I think two things. I know what you're trying to say, Gabe, but I think, you know, Rick was bringing in more guys just then to trade him, obviously, at the deadline. They were trying to build
That's how
something.
It felt as a Sox fan.
I get what you're saying, though, that there were guys that were coming in who you knew during the rebuild who were going to get moved at some point for other pieces. But, yeah, I think there's definitely a chance he stays past the deadline, 100%. I mean, I don't know what will happen after that, you know, after the year's over. I mean, as a player, you talk to players, and they work and they train and they prepare to get, you know, if they don't have a contract, to get to this point of free agency and test the market, right? So I would certainly imagine that Lucas tests the market at the end of the year, but that's a long, long way away. But, I mean, if they continue to – I mean, they're 5.5 games out of first place. I get that's not, you know, two wins and you're back atop the, you know, division. And I don't – barring something thoroughly unexpected, I don't think a wild card is going to come from the AL Central. So you got to win the division. But, man, I think if, you know, they continue to stay in this thing, and they are in this thing, 5.5 big games is – unless there is 4 games or 5 games back or left to play, you're still in it. And he's a key piece, a huge piece. He's been great for this team. You know, aside from the one start in Pittsburgh, he's been tremendous for the White Sox. He's back to the form that we knew the 3 years before the 2022 season. So, yeah, I think, you know, I mean, things look, as we've talked about, things look different on May 25th than they did on April 29th. So we'll see how they can use the play forward. And, you know, there's still time to assess everything. You have a whole month, you know, the trade deadline is the end of, I think the beginning of, is it the first day of August or July 31st? I believe it's August 1st this year. So there's quite a bit of time to figure out, are you adding, are you trading away, are you doing both, and see where the White Sox stand as it moves closer to that time.
Great stuff. Great stuff. Thanks a ton. Great catching up with you as always, Scott. And,
okay, guys.
Appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.